This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest. Happy Monday. This is Sharmila Ganesan together with Juliet Jacobs and Lim Soo Ann in the studio. As always, we have two stories for you today.
First up, you might have seen on your social media platforms that you've been receiving quite a lot of messages on the increased number of influenza cases. But the Health Ministry has said that the slight increase is still within normal parameters. So what are the precautions that you can take? So probably some of you who are listening right now might have been recently affected by the influenza cases, or you would have known of someone who has been. And so messages about it seem to be going viral across social media platforms and messaging groups about the increase in the number of influenza infections. But now the Health Ministry has come out to say that they are aware of this increase, but they've denied claims of a drastic increase in the number of influenza infections that it reaches a worrying level.
So according to Health Director General Datuk Dr. Noor Hisham Abdullah, influenza infections are currently not subjected to reporting or notification requirements under the Prevention and Control of Infectious Diseases Act. So that's why at the ministry level, there is no record of every single case of influenza infection that is occurring in Malaysia. Despite this, though, he reassures that the ministry is still monitoring influenza cases by using proxy data recorded from surveillance activities, which involves several known sentinel locations nationwide.
Yeah, so, you know, in tropical countries such as Malaysia, influenza cases do occur and they are reported throughout the year, though it's usually within a small range. So this is compared to temperate and cold weather countries where influenza infections tend to occur seasonally, especially, of course, in the cold winter time. As such, monitoring of influenza-type activity is carried out throughout the year for identification of infection trends in Malaysia. And as of now, no out-of-the-ordinary changes for the influenza virus have been detected.
So the Sungai Buloh National Public Health Laboratory and the Medical Research Institute are the two responsible for monitoring any changes to the influenza virus in Malaysia. So influenza surveillance monitoring includes cases comprising of influenza-like systems, like illnesses, ELI, and the admission rates of patients with severe acute respiratory infections. So outbreaks related to respiratory tract infections are also monitored on a daily basis.
So Dr. Noor Hisham said that based on trends recorded from the surveillance activity, there has been a slight increase in influenza-like illness and severe acute respiratory infection cases since mid-December of 2019. But the recorded increase was still within the normal range and almost the same as previous years, in fact.
And similarly, there was no significant increase as well in the incidence of respiratory tract infections, which was reported over the same period. And so in addition to that analysis, they analysed the influenza virus that was detected from the current surveillance activity, and that actually showed no signs of mutation, because a mutation would mean that there's an emergence of a new influenza virus known as a novel virus.
But for some background on influenza, here's a clip from a previous Health and Living interview where Dr. Vigneshwaran Muthu from the Ministry of Health's Disease Control Division actually explains the symptoms of influenza and who would be at higher risk of developing severe infections.
Influenza, if you look at it, it's a group of viruses that circulate among humans, animals, birds, and so on. Mm. So now we are talking about influenza A, B, C, and also D.
D, right. Okay.
So the human get contacted with influenza A, influenza B, and C. The D is usually among the cattle.
Right. Okay. It doesn't spread to humans.
Doesn't spread to humans.
Okay.
Now, influenza is a specific group of viruses. Mm-hmm. And if you look at A, they have subtypes. So that's why there is H1N1.
All right.
Now, H is the group of protein, and also N is a group of protein. Mm. Now, if you look at H is hemagglutinin, and N is neuroamidase. Now, there's 16 H and 11 N.
All right. That's why you have H5N1, for instance, yeah, and so on and so forth.
Now, let's talk about the symptoms first. There'll be fever and cough. You'll have sore throat. Mm-hmm. And some, they will have running nose. And the influenza can also behave with gastrointestinal symptoms. Mm, okay. You can have nausea, you can have diarrhea. Mm-hmm. So that's how. And then the severity is some of them asymptomatic. Some can go until severe illness where they have the lung involvement, and also can cause death. If you see, some of them might not have severe symptoms, but some of them have severe symptoms. So we can't really predict who will have severe symptoms and less symptoms. But again, when we look at the population, once they have this pandemic, these outbreaks and so on, we find that those who are highly susceptible for complication, mm-hmm. example, the extreme age, mm-hmm. the very young and the very old, mm-hmm. and then the pregnant mothers, mm-hmm. and also those who are having chronic illness like diabetic, existing heart failure, mm-hmm. heart ischemic heart disease, mm-hmm. respiratory illness like asthma, bronchitis, emphysema, and so on. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, those who are immunocompromised. Mm-hmm. So those are the population where influenza virus tend to make it worse.
Yes.
So the influenza virus is contagious and is more likely to occur in densely populated areas like schools, hostels, closed workplaces and military camps. And outbreaks usually only cause mild flu in the average person. Mm-hmm. But like Dr. Vigneshwaran said, it could cause severe infections among the high-risk groups. You know, this includes children, elderly, pregnant women and those with other chronic those with chronic diseases.
But you can prevent severe influenza infections. And this is by getting the seasonal influenza vaccine. So Dr. Noor Hisham also has said that the ministry not only recommends people in the high-risk groups in the high-risk groups to get the flu vaccine, but it's also people in the general public as well. And so you can get it in government healthcare facilities as well as your private hospitals and clinics. And it is a vaccine that's recommended for you to take yearly, but Dr. Vigneshwaran says that the uptake in Malaysia remains low.
You see, the vaccination uptake in Malaysia is very sad. Why? Maybe the awareness towards mm-hmm. influenza, mm-hmm. first thing. Second thing is that maybe availability of influenza vaccination. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, the doctors, clinicians advising their patients and so on, whether they want to take this influenza and so on. Mm-hmm. Now, what we found out was only 1% uptake.
Among adults?
Among adults. Mm-hmm. In Malaysia, we, Ministry of Health, we provide vaccination for the frontliners in our hospitals and also clinic. That is partly to prevent the disease to our healthcare workers and also at the same time they passing to their families and so on. Mm-hmm. Now, my recommendation is why not all of us get to know about influenza and at the same time go and talk to your clinicians about this so that once the awareness is there, the uptake is more. Mm-hmm. Now, once the uptake is more, what happens? These pharmaceutical companies that come up with vaccination, they are prepared for bigger supply. Mm-hmm. Because once there's a pandemic, these companies or these pharmaceutical companies will come up with the number of vaccines. But what happens is that when the uptake is low, mm-hmm. there won't be enough
supply
when there's a pandemic. Mm-hmm. So that is some kind of awareness that we would like people to take in their hands, empower them. Mm.
And on that note of awareness, this brings us to the issue of antibiotics. So the perceived need for antibiotics in treating any infections among certain sections of the public has actually led to the very worrying rise of antimicrobial resistance. So in this clip, Dr. Vigneshwaran reminds us that there is no need for antibiotics to treat influenza because it is only caused by a virus and not bacteria.
Antibiotics being prescribed for fever, flu, I think that is the one escalating the antimicrobial resistance that is happening today. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are having just fever, cough, sore throat, it doesn't mean you have to take antibiotics. So firstly, go and meet your doctors. Usually the doctors can differentiate between tonsillitis, pharyngitis, that is bacterial. Mm-hmm. And usually when your doctors see you, they would recommend symptomatic treatment. Mm-hmm. Because when I was working in the clinic in Kepong, mm-hmm. sometimes some patient, if you don't provide them antibiotic, they say, ini doktor tak bagus.
Yes.
And then what they do is they shop for antibiotics.
Yes.
They go doctor shopping or mm-hmm. clinic shopping. Mm-hmm. That is what we are preventing from the population or the public to do this, which is not good for our future antibiotic use.
Because taking antibiotics when you don't need it is what will lead to resistance.
Bugs.
Yes, resistant bacteria. Yeah.
So mild cases of influenza usually don't require medication. All you need is a lot of bed rest and plenty of fluids. Mm. But more severe cases would require antiviral medication. So that's based, depending on your doctor's, how your doctor prescribes it.
Right. But for the treatment of children below five, Dr. Noor Hisham released a statement recently warning against the prescription of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs or NSAIDs for them, as there was clinical evidence that showed that its use may actually increase the complications of influenza infections, such as brain inflammation when it comes to children. Mm. He also stated that if there was a need for medication, the appropriate dose of paracetamol should be given in addition to tepid sponging of the head, legs and body.
But for those of you who are exhibiting influenza-like symptoms, it's good to remember to practice good cough etiquette as the virus is spread through droplets in the air. So what exactly, though, is good cough etiquette?
Firstly is when you have symptoms of cough, most important, you have some tissue or you can use a mask to cover so that when you cough, the droplet doesn't spread to the environment. Or when you cough, use a tissue, wipe your face or mouth, throw the tissue, and most important, wash your hands. That is how you can prevent the virus from spreading to another person.
Before you touch something else.
Okay. And since you have fever, cough, you also have sore throat, it's better that you isolate yourself from big gathering, functions, weddings, and so on, so that you don't go there because people will be near you. You'll be coughing, or you will have somebody beside you who's coughing to you, and so on. So that is the most important thing that we feel that can prevent the spread of virus from one person to another.
So you've been hearing clips from Dr. Vigneshwaran Muthu from the Disease Control Division in the Ministry of Health. So it's a lot to take in there, I think, especially when you see people coughing and sneezing
cough
around
etiquette,
you.
Cough etiquette, people. Like, do the right thing.
Can I just share my experience? I have recovered from influenza. I got it. I'm fairly certain I got it at a shopping centre. This was just before Christmas because I remember people sneezing with wild abandon, no tissues in sight. And I was just like, oh, gross. But I had no choice. I had to get my shopping done. And the next thing you know, I was sick. And the next thing you know, my whole family was sick, including my 7-month-old baby, you know, my husband, my helper, my 4-year-old, all of us were down. And it was one of the most debilitating illnesses I've had. You know, it was bedridden on Christmas Day. It was just, it saps your energy. You know, you are just like, I mean, it's a short period of time for me. It was like less than a week.
What an unpleasant end to the year.
It was. But I think the worst thing is, especially when you have children, you know, and there's no way that you can avoid them getting it.
Right.
Because like you said, it just goes through droplets. No matter how many tissues I coughed into, obviously everybody else still got it. So I would really recommend getting that influenza jab if you can. But of course, yes, washing your hands regularly with soap and water. And again, practice good cough etiquette.
And if you do have symptoms, some of the things that you should do: rest at home, don't go to crowded places, and if you do need to be in public, wear a face mask, cover your nose and mouth with a tissue or a handkerchief again when you're coughing or you're sneezing, and then discard that tissue immediately. Avoid sharing your personal items with other people, and you know, most importantly, go see your doctor.
Yeah, and I think that's something that a lot of us don't really remember to do.
Like, I'll just write it out.
But I think also what Dr. Vigneshwaran said was there's such a low uptake of people wanting to get the influenza jab. I mean, every time I went to the hospital, there were signs saying, get it, do it. And I, of course, ignored it. Or actually, I was going to get it at the end of the year when I was a bit freer. Unfortunately, I caught the disease, the virus before that.
The other thing that that struck out for me is also this, that we need to be informed consumers or patients as well, in that if what we have is viral, knowing that we don't need antibiotics, and not resorting to, as he said, thinking that a doctor that doesn't prescribe you antibiotics is being a bad doctor.
So well, if you have more questions about this, we are talking to consultant respiratory physician Dr. Helmi Hajimaidin on this Friday, 10th of January. So that will be for our health and living segment. He will be discussing that this current rise in influenza cases from his perspective. And so if you want to hear more you can tune in on Friday at 4 p.m. And if you have any questions, you can send them in. We have a Facebook page or at BFM The Bigger Picture if you have any questions, or you can just tune in on 10th of January at 4 p.m.
So that is all we have for you on this. And if you want to know more, a more in-depth discussion, that would be a great place to check in on. We do need to take a quick break, but we'll first leave you with Hit Me With Your Best Shot by Pat Benatar, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.